This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Islam. I welcome the students of the Al-Kawthar Mobile Ilm. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. بإذن الله تعالى, we move on to the next lesson, and that being lesson 17, 18, and 19. Brothers and sisters, we hope that you are consistent with regards to reading from the text and consistent with regards to your listening to the audios. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record this in our scales of good deeds. Brothers and sisters, the author has now concluded the matters pertaining to Islam, Iman, the matters of kufr, disbelief, the matters of Iman, walhamdulillah. We also went through the matters pertaining to shirk and the matters pertaining to tawheed, walhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us upon tawheed. Brothers and sisters, the author now in lesson number 17 begins the matters, the issues related to tahara. Tahara, purification. What in reality is tahara? Tahara is izalatun najis or raf'ul hadath. It is the removal of physical impurities. Removal of physical impurities from yourself, from your body, from your clothing, from the place of your prayer. You are removing the blood that might be there. You are removing the urine that might be there. You are removing some of the feces that might be there. You are removing the saliva of the dog that might be there. Removal of physical impurities. O raf'ul hadath, and it is also the lifting of the state of ritual impurity. Brother Salman was intimate with his wife, and now both of them are in a state of janaba. They require taking a ghusl, a complete bath from head to toe, as we will discuss later on insha'Allah. Sister Sumayya, she had gone to the toilet and now she wants to perform her Salatul Fajr. She is required to take a fresh wudu. Brother Ilyas is in some area and there's no water available and he wants to perform his Salah. What does he do? He performs Tayammum. Those are the three options available. The matter of the ghusl, complete full purification. Then there's the wudu or your ablution. And if water is unavailable, or you are unable to use the water due to illness, sickness, etc., then you move on to tayammum, where you use the dust or you use the sand. Walhamdulillah. As for items which are najis, then blood is najis. Wherever it exited from your body, from your ear, from your lips, blood is najis, according to majority of the scholars. Bowl, which is human urine, also filthy, also najis. Gha'it, which is the excrement, feces, najis. The saliva of the dog, and many other matters as we will discuss insha'Allah. Understand, there's a difference between something being najis and something being filthy. You might have on your garment some grease. This is filthy, it's not najis. There might be on your garment some curry. This is filthy, it's not najis. You might, for example, have been wearing your socks for the entire day and playing soccer. This is now filthy, but it's not najis. If you had worn that which was filthy and performed your salah would be valid, but it's not the best and most appropriate thing to do. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to removal of these physical impurities, like blood, like urine, like feces, like the saliva of the dog, etc., etc., like, for example, some urine that has fallen on your garment somewhere, or fallen on the ground somewhere, is it a condition that I have to use water? Or can I use any other remover besides water? Can I have this garment sent for dry cleaning? Would it now be clean? Can I, for example, use some other liquid to remove this najas? Would that suffice? Can I, for example, use a dry cloth and clean the knife which has blood on it? The answer is yes. You do not have to use water, although water is the best option. But maybe water is not available. Maybe, for example, if you are going to use water, it will destroy the item. Some najis has fallen onto a book, fallen onto a piece of paper. And if you use water, you will destroy the paper. So here, what can you use? You can use any other remover as long as the eye of the foot has been removed. We find our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had mentioned that if you go to the toilet and if you use stones, not the matter of water, rather you had used stones and you cleaned yourself once, twice, etc. until all of the filth has been removed, then this would suffice, walhamdulillah. So the brother did not use water. You also find, for example, our Rasul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that if you come to salah, and in those days they would perform their salah with their shoes on because their masjid had sand on the ground. So he states, if you come for salah, check your shoes. If there's any filth on it, if there's any najis on it, then wipe your sandals, wipe your shoes, and then you can perform salah in it. So here, we've not used water. Rather, I've wiped it clean and there's no trace of any of the najis any longer there. Alhamdulillah, we say it's now clean. Another example would be, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said with regards to a female who's got a very long garment, it's dragging on the floor. She might walk over areas where there's a lot of filth and a lot of najis. Then they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what happens? Is her garment now impure? He says, no, that don't you see that later on when you walk on earth which is clean, you walk on the grass and you walk on the clean sand, etc., this clean sand and grass purifies your dress. And so here, purification was attained by other than water. Somebody is performing qurbani, he's slaughtering udhiya, the animal. He slaughters one animal, and the knife is now full of blood. And this flowing blood, this is something which is najis, it is something impure. The brother takes a cloth, and he cleans the knife properly, khalas. The knife is now clean, walhamdulillah. Thus, we are able to achieve purification with other than water when it comes to removal of impurities. As for some bright spark wanting to perform wudu with Coca-Cola, or wanting to perform ghusl with orange juice, or wanting to perform ghusl with some oil, this is not permissible. You have to use water when it comes to your ritual purification. For your wudu, for your ghusl, you have to use water. If no water available, then you move on to the matter of tayammum, insha'Allah. Brothers and sisters, the author discusses matters related to water. Why? Because usually we use water for the removal of impurities. It's the easiest option. Kid has urinated on the ground. We take some water, we pour over it, etc. Water is usually our first option and it's the best option. We also use water for our ritual purification, our wudu and our ghusl. So we need to make sure that the water we are using is pure. If this water has been contaminated, etc., then in reality, we are unable to use that water. There are certain principles with regards to water. The first one being, any amount of water, a lot, a little, one drop, 10 drops, any amount of water which has been mixed with something impure, any amount of water which has mixed with something pure, and significantly has changed in color, taste or smell. Those are the three criteria. Changed in color, taste or smell. Then this water is now regarded as this new substance. You've taken 10 liters of water, you've thrown in 20 tea bags. This water has significantly changed in color, taste or smell. And now this is no longer called original pure water. It's now called tea water. Excellent. That's rule number one. Rule number two. Any amount of water which is mixed with something najis and it's changed in its color, taste or smell, it now will be regarded as najis water. It will now be regarded as impure water. 20 liters of water and you've added to it 5 liters of urine. Please excuse the examples, but we have to explain in this manner so that you understand. 20 liters of water mixed with 5 liters of urine, and it's smelling, it's stinking, there's an odor with it, the color has also changed. Khalas, you cannot use this here. This is now najis water. Example, sewage water. This is now impure. You cannot use it at all. Walhamdulillah. So the first one being, any amount of water, 1 liter, 10 liters, 50,000 liters, mixed with something pure, like a tea bag, mixed with oranges, mixed with milk. It's now milky water. It's now tea water. It's now orange water. If any amount of water has been mixed with something najis, something impure, and the water changes in color, taste, or smell, then this water will now be regarded as najis, example, sewage water. Number three, large amounts of water, large quantities of water, which might be mixed with some impure substances, like blood, like urine, but it remains unchanged in its color, taste, or smell, then it is still pure and purifying. You can use for your wudu and your ghusl. Example, a massive pool, a kid went into it and he urinated. So this large amount of water has mixed with something impure, but it has not changed in color, taste, or smell, and thus this water is still pure. An individual goes to the Atlantic Ocean, urinates in the Atlantic Ocean, subhanAllah, Allahumma istan, may Allah save us. Nonetheless, has he contaminated the water of the Atlantic Ocean? No. Why? Because this is too large an amount of water. Your little urine cannot make any change to it. Alhamdulillah. So those are the three important rules. And then there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars. What happens if there is a small amount of water, small quantity of water, and this water has been mixed with something najis, and it's unchanged in its color, taste, or smell? I know at times, as many a scholar has stated, the issues related to tahara can get rather intricate. I repeat, what is the ruling with regards to a small amount of water, 2 liters of water, and it's mixed with some urine, it's mixed with something najis, but it is unchanged in its color, taste, or smell? 2 liters of urine, 2 liters of water rather, and one tiny drop of urine has been entered into it. Can I use this water for my wudu or my ghusl? I repeat, 2 liters of water, one tiny drop of urine has entered into it. And obviously, this is not enough to change it in color, taste, or smell. Can I use this for my purification? There's great debate here amongst the scholars. Great debate amongst the scholars. And the author discusses the opinion of majority of the scholars who use the criteria of qullatain. Qullatain is this large volume of water. And the scholars have deferred what amount of water. Some said 307 liters, some said 270 liters, some said 204 kgs of water, some said 210 liters. There's great debate with regards to that amount of water. Point being that when it is a small quantity of water and some najis has entered into it and it remains unchanged, there is debate amongst the scholars with regards to this matter. Majority of the scholars say you cannot use it. The Maliki scholars have a beautiful principle and they apply the rule. As long as it has not changed in color, taste, or smell, you can still use that water. I repeat, the Maliki scholars state, as long as it has not changed in color, taste, or smell, you can still use it. Walhamdulillah. And as for the greater discussion related to this and the evidences of the scholars, then this is not for our current discussion. As we discussed, this is back to basics, insha'Allah. This is for sister Samantha and brother Ahmed, for them to come back, for them to get the basics of the deen. No need to complicate matters, insha'Allah. Brothers and sisters, also take note. Many an individual has been afflicted by doubt. I think some urine has been released. I think, for example, this area is now najis. I think, for example, a drop of urine has fallen on me. I'm not sure. I think I missed out a rak'ah in my salah. I think, for example, I'm in my second rak'ah and not my third. I think this, I think that. I've got doubt about this, I've got doubt about that, etc. Subhanallah. Brothers and sisters, a super important rule, O Samantha, O Ahmed. What's the rule? Throw away your doubt. The principle we have, al-yaqeen la yazulu bishak. Certainty is not removed by doubt. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to that individual who's got doubt, maybe I passed wind, maybe I didn't pass wind, maybe I passed wind in salah, maybe I didn't pass wind, maybe my wudu's broken, maybe it's not. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, la yansarif hatta yasma' sawtan aw yajid rihan. Do not leave unless you hear a sound or unless you get the smell. Meaning, unless you are sure. When you are sure that you have passed wind, even if there's no sound or smell, if you are sure you've passed wind, then you break your salah. But whenever you are in doubt, take the doubt and throw it away. Someone might say, brother, let's pray here. No problem. Somebody else says, no, maybe somebody walked here. Maybe they had some filth on their garments. Maybe they had some filth on their shoes. For as long as you cannot see anything impure, for as long as you cannot smell anything impure. And if you want to do that, for as long as you cannot taste anything impure there, then it's not there, and you continue and all is fine. I repeat, we take doubt and we throw it away. You in salah and shaitan tells you this, tells you that, nafs tells you this, tells you that, etc. If it's just mere doubt, take it and throw it away and stick to your certainty if you have certainty. If for example you in salah, second or third rak'ah, second or third rak'ah, what do you do? If you have certainty, if you have higher probability, I think it's my fault. Go with that. But if you're really unsure, you're really on the level of doubt 50-50, then you go with the lesser of two numbers, walhamdulillah. And that idea that people have, when in doubt, leave things out, that in reality is not a correct principle. Rather, the principle is, when in doubt, we go back to certainty. This land, this area I want to make salah in, I think maybe some urine has come out. I think for example, I broke my wudu. We say all of this here, take the doubt and throw it away. You are sure you made wudu? Your wudu is still valid until you are sure that it's been broken. This area, this land, this place, this carpet, it is pure until proven otherwise. If you can see, if you can smell, if you can taste some najis, then it would be impure. Otherwise, it's still pure. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, the author moves on to lesson number 18. The discussion pertaining to performance of wudu and wiping over the socks. We take the first matter, insha'Allah, and that is, how do I perform my wudu? You find in Surah Ma'idah, verse number 6, the obligations of wudu are mentioned, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 6. And in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, the famous hadith of Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, which has the perfect complete wudu as Uthman had shown the people. This is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to perform his ablution. How do we perform the ablution? Number one, intention in your heart. There's no need to verbalize, oh Allah, I'm making wudu for your sake, etc. Nawaitu an atawadda. No need for all of this. Before you eat, you don't say, oh Allah, I'm eating. Before you walk, you don't say, oh Allah, I'm walking. Before you sit down, you don't say, oh Allah, I'm sitting down. So there's no need to verbalize your intention. You are conscious of what you are doing. You know what you are doing. Your intention is in the heart. Then you say, Bismillah. Then you wash your wrists. Washing them three times is best. Two times is fine, and one times the minimum. Then you wash your mouth and your nose. You can wash them separately. You can join in the washing. Wash your mouth three times, or two times, or one time. Wash your nasal passages one time, or two times, or three times. Three is the best. After doing this, then we wash the entire face completely. Three times best, two times fine, one times the minimum. Wash your entire face completely. Make sure that water has touched every area of your face. If the individual has a small, tiny, slight, thin beard, then make sure the water goes and reaches the skin underneath. And if you have a thick beard, which is like covering your face, then as long as the outer section of the beard is wiped over, is touched by water, then that suffices. Water does not have to reach into and under the beard, reaching the skin. Then we wash the arms, the right arm up to and including the elbows. Many individuals fall short when it comes to the elbows. Make sure that you wash the entire arm from the tip of your fingers right up to and including your elbows. One time is minimum, two is better, three is the best. And then your left arm from the tip of your fingers up to and including your elbows. One time, two times, three times, best. Walhamdulillah. Then you wipe over your entire head. That's the best option, insha'Allah. As Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, then you make mass of your head. Yes, there are scholars who talk about, what if you only wiped over the minimum definition of head? Best option, wipe over your entire head. Walhamdulillah. Your two hands going from your forehead, reaching right up to the back and then coming back forward. Thus you are covering the entire head. If Samantha, the new Muslim, is unable to perform this mass of the head as many of us are used to it, we learnt it in madrasa, we say to her, just take your one hand, put some water in it, and just use the one hand and wipe over your entire head. As long as you wiped over your entire head, that would suffice. The manner of doing it, this is a matter of the sunnah. sunnah, walhamdulillah. Then you also wipe the ears once. The wiping of the head is one time, because we wipe the head, not wash the head. Otherwise, many of us will fall ill, subhanallah. We wipe over the head, wipe the ears, and after this, many would take their right hand and push it through the left, and making sure that the area between the fingers is also washed. After this, you wash your right leg and you wash your left leg, washing them three times best, two times fine, one time is the minimum. You're washing your entire foot up to and including the ankles, walhamdulillah. Many a times people fall short with regards to the ankles. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some individuals performing wudu and they had left the ankles unwashed or the heels unwashed. What did he say? وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe to those ankles in the hellfire, subhanallah. Beware, be careful, make sure you wash them properly. Brothers and sisters, the author then discusses wiping over socks. This is a matter the scholars have differed about. And as we said, this discussion related to Samantha and related to Brother Ahmed. We want to give them the simplest, the easiest option, inshallah. They are new Muslims. We do not want to confuse them with regards to various opinions of scholars. We want to make things easy, inshallah. We are nonetheless cognizant of the opinions of the scholars. And we are also cognizant of the fact that these individuals are living in this time and age, 2015, times have changed, times are different. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to wiping over the socks, you have leather socks, which are called khuffain in Arabic, khuffain. You have plus minus about 80 ahadith that state that you are allowed to wipe over leather socks. So Brother Ahmed, Sister Samantha, no problem. If you are wearing leather socks, you can wipe over these leather socks. What does wiping over mean? It means when you have the socks on, then from the tip of your toes, you just bring your slightly wet hand, bring it over your foot and up to the point above the ankle. You just wipe over that. There's no need to remove that leather sock. There's no need to wash your feet, etc. There's no need to wipe underneath of that sock. You just wipe on the upper portion of that sock, bearing the condition, important condition, and that is, you had put on that sock in a state of purification. So Sister Samantha, you woke up in the morning, you had performed your wudu, you had performed your Salatul Fajr, and then you had put on these leather socks in a state of purification, in a state of wudu. Later on, during the day, at Zuhr time, when you want to perform your Salah at work, you do not require removal of that socks. You can wipe over those socks, walhamdulillah. Makes your life a bit easy, walhamdulillah. So as for leather socks, no problem at all. Then you also have something today called sealed skin socks, which in reality are your cotton or woolen socks, but they are waterproof. These type of socks, many a scholar also allows wiping over them. They are very thick, they are very durable, they are waterproof, and thus wiping over them is also permissible. Then we come to the third matter, and that is my ordinary socks. My ordinary black socks that I bought from the marketplace. The socks here, it covers my foot up to and including my ankles. It's not transparent, it's not super thin, it's not like stockings. It's a normal, decent, durable type of socks. Can I wipe over these, Brother Ahmed says? He says, it's very hot in Australia. I'm unable to wear leather socks or these type of sealskin thick socks. I wear my normal socks. What type of normal socks? They are not see-through, they are not transparent, they are decently durable, they cover my ankles, it's not some sort of secret socks. These decent normal socks, can I wipe over these? We say to Brother Ahmed that there's debate amongst the scholars with regards to wiping over these type of socks. Many a scholar is of the opinion that it is permissible, based upon the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said to the companions. He told them, فَأَمَرَهُمْ أَنْ يَمْسَحُوا عَلَى الْعَصَائِبِ وَالتَّسَاخِينَ. He ordered them to wipe over their turbans and over their foot coverings. And here foot coverings mentioned. It doesn't mention leather socks. So foot coverings could include your cotton socks, your woolen socks, your leather socks, all these type of socks, as long as they cover the foot. And this hadith here reported by Imam Abu Dawood and in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. You also have the hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah that he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ wiped over his jawrabain. Jawrabain ayo non-leather socks. Jorabain ayo non-leather socks. He mentions the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wiped over his jorabain. And this hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawood. But the debate is whether these ahadith are authentic or not. Those scholars who said they are authentic, they said, no problem, brother, you can wipe over your non-leather cotton socks. And those who say, no, these ahadith are not authentic, they say, brother, it's best you avoid, wipe over the leather, wipe over the sealskin socks, or remove and wash your feet. So, ala kulli hal, we say to brother Ahmed, insha'Allah, you know, you are the plumber, you are this, you are that. If you want to wipe over your non-leather cotton socks, insha'Allah, that would be fine. If you want to take the better route, the safer option, then remove them and wash your feet, and that's the safer option, insha'Allah. But if you did wipe over them, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, that would be valid, and that would be fine, insha'Allah. Some scholars put certain conditions, you need to walk 5 kilometers, there must not be any hole, etc., etc. In reality, these conditions are good, they are nice, they are fantastic, but they do not stand the test of time in terms of their proof. So we say to brother Ahmed, wiping over leather socks, no problem. Wiping over sealskin socks, no problem. Wiping over your cotton or woolen socks, a debate. And if you did it, insha'Allah, based upon the opinion that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is authentic and he had wiped over his jorabain, then insha'Allah there is no problem. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, take note the condition that you had performed a complete wudu, then you had put on these socks. You had put them on in a state of wudu. So the next time you need to take wudu, you can just wipe over your socks, insha'Allah. No need to wash your feet. And this will last for 24 hours for the resident and 72 hours the concession for the traveler. If you remove the socks, then majority of the scholars state that technically you do not have any purification on your feet right now. Technically you are required to repeat your ablution. And if the time expires, your ablution is also nullified because the concession time over the socks have now ended. Walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, that concludes lessons number 17 and 18. And then the author mentions in lessons 19 that the conditions for our ablution: acceptance of the Islamic faith, meaning you must be Muslim. Number two, you must be sane, you must be conscious, you must know what you are doing. You must have the intention in your heart for this performance of wudu. You must be clean of urine and excrement and blood and all these other types of impurities. Your body must be clean. You want to perform salah, you need to be clean. Your body needs to be clean. Your place of salah must be clean. Your clothing must be clean. And you must use clean water. We discussed water. You have to use clean water. And lastly, there must not be any barrier between the water and your skin, or the water and your nails, for example. The sister has this nail polish which forms a barrier between the water and the nail, then this would not be permissible. Lastly, the author discusses those who have illness. The individual has the release of these drops of urine, or the female is in istihada, she has this chronic bleeding due to illness. What do they do with regards to their salah? The answer is, if they have this problem, and this problem lasts between one salah time and the next salah time, they do not have a window of opportunity to perform their prayer properly with proper wudu and proper salah, then they are excused. They are what we call ma'adhur. They are excused. They have a concession. What's the concession? They need to, at the time of every salah, clean themselves properly and then perform their wudu and then perform their salah. Even though while performing their wudu, there might be some release of gas, there might be some release of urine, there might be some release of blood, there's nothing else they can do. Even though while performing their salah, there might be release of gas, might be release of blood, might be release of urine, etc., nothing else they can do. These matters will now not break their purification because there's nothing else that they can do. They are continuously in this illness. They have this continuous problem. Allah musta'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa. At the next salah time, they do the same. Clean themselves properly and then perform wudu and then perform their prayer. Walhamdulillah. If at times it's extremely difficult, then the option of joining between two prayers can come up, and we might discuss this later bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we hope that you are consistent present with regards to the reading and with regards to the listening of the audio. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an increase in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a greater desire to fulfill the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated. Brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the suffering upon the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not live a life like a cow. You lived, you ate, you procreated, and you died. Rather, make a difference somehow. Make a difference somehow. Leave some sort of legacy behind. You have not most likely remembered your grandparents today in your du'as. Within one generation, you've forgotten these individuals who have showered you with their blessings and their mercies and their wealth and their love and care and attention. You've already forgotten them, subhanAllah. What do you think is going to happen in the future generations? You probably would be forgotten even faster. Leave a legacy behind. Leave some sort of sadaqah jariyah behind so that you will still earn good deeds even after you have left. Hayyakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.